When I started birding in 1975, I was delighted but also shocked at just how many birds there were, and especially by how many of these had been living in my own backyard in my suburb of Chicago without my ever having noticed them. Opening my field guide for the first time was my Helen Keller at the water pump moment. Suddenly I knew. With my whole new understanding, I started seeing more than just house sparrows, cardinals, and robins in my old neighborhood. There were swifts and nighthawks in the sky, orioles and rose-breasted grosbeaks and indigo buntings in the trees, and white-throated sparrows and catbirds and thrashers in the shrubs. And they'd been there all along without my having a clue. One other bird that had been in my neighborhood all along was the tufted titmouse. I must have been confusing their Peter, Peter, Peter and Dear, Dear, Dear songs with cardinals, but there they were. One year, Russ and I got to live in a professor's house while he was on sabbatical, and the very first bird I got at my new bird feeder on Christmas Day was a tufted titmouse. They're a little bigger than chickadees, grayish-brown above, white tummy below, and lovely buffy sides. They have a little black marking between the eyes at the base of the crest, which highlights their large black eyes filled with intelligence and curiosity. Tufted titmice belong to the same family as chickadees, and in many ways act like them, being sociable flocking birds with that same need for personal space. They even have a raspy version of the chickadee-dee-dee call. But titmice have a louder, more persistent song which can be heard a long ways away. When I heard my first one, after hearing the song on my bird record, it took me over 45 minutes to find it at the Fenner Arboretum in Lansing, Michigan on April 29, 1975. That's how I learned my birds back then. When I'd hear any unfamiliar song or a song I'd just heard on recordings, I'd patiently hike around after it and search every branch of every tree until I finally found it. Experienced birders don't do that much, but I'm starting to miss the old novice approach of looking for and savoring every bird, familiar and unfamiliar both. And tufted titmice sure do reward that approach. I'm seeing a lot of them in Arkansas, and every time I see one, I'm delighted anew. They look down with such an inquisitive expression, seemingly filled with good humor and a zen-like oneness with their forest home. If I get cold in my sleeping bag at nighttime, I think of titmice, each one alone in its cavity, not even a little dog to keep its third of an ounce body warm. But they don't complain about it. At first light, without even a cup of coffee or cocoa to warm themselves, they rise and sing and chatter. Whatever they're really saying to one another, it sounds to my ears like they're discussing all the wonderful possibilities of the coming day, and they fill me with optimism. A world with tufted titmice is a pretty darned good place to be. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.